Tom Emmer. I represent Minnesota's 6th Congressional District in Congress. Currently, I serve on the Financial Services Committee, which has various subcommittees, including the Capital Markets Subcommittee, the Trade Subcommittee, and the Terrorism Financing Subcommittee. But prior to this, I served on the Agricultural Committee and also on the Foreign Affairs Committee. So pretty much a heavy focus when it comes to financing, farming, and trade.
And as you're well aware, those three are tied together very closely. And right now there is a lot of uncertainty amongst farmers because low commodity prices, questions about trade deals and a potential trade war with China, just so much happening right now in a negative light that's impacting farmers. From your position in Washington, what is the first thing you want to tell farmers back here in Minnesota about what has transpired?
Well, let's first start with how they're feeling. I imagine there's a lot of anxiety that, quite frankly, is already present in our rural communities all across the state of Minnesota and the country. Farm income has seen a major decrease in the last 3 years. In fact, one of the steepest drops since the Great Depression. There are already major stressors on the agricultural economy in the United States. Add on top of that, this readjustment is what I'll call it. And you say it's a lot of bad news. I'm sure it can be interpreted that way, but I don't think it is bad news. I think we're on the verge of, despite all the rhetoric, despite all the inflammatory statements that have been made over the past many months, I think we're on the verge, maybe in the next 30 to 60 days, of seeing an agreement in principle on NAFTA. I think you look at the issue that's come up with China. China has actually been has not been playing fair in the free market marketplace. And what the administration is trying to do is rectify that so that our agricultural producers, the greatest farmers on the face of the planet, can have full and fair access to all markets, just like we typically give those outside of the U.S. access to our markets. And it just as a word of caution, while we should be concerned, keep in mind that the administration has taken a different approach than the previous administration. The previous administration was trying to isolate China with the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, with this massive multilateral trade agreement, which most Americans just didn't understand and made them very nervous. I thought after President Trump took office that they would break that up into 11 separate agreements and do those one-offs. And instead, what they've chosen to do is with China, because TPP was to isolate China and try to address the trade abuses that exist and the currency manipulation that way. Instead, this administration is probably doing it in a more forthright manner, going directly at China and saying, look, you haven't been playing fair. You need to play fair. We're going to set these tariffs. By the way, I disagreed with the broad application a couple weeks ago, and immediately the administration started granting waivers to Canada, Mexico, the UK, and others. It really is all about this this issue with China. And now the word of optimism for our agricultural producers, Mark, keep in mind that neither the Chinese nor the Trump administration are calling this a trade war. They are both talking about sitting down and discussing the problems and trying to address them. So before we all push the panic button or pull a fire alarm, I think look at the history. Again, NAFTA on the verge of having an agreement in principle. A different issue, but North Korea, we thought that was being handled perhaps a little bit too aggressively. And who would have guessed that the North Koreans would be talking with the South Koreans and sitting down with the U.S.? So a different way of negotiating, Mark, quite certainly, but it's having results, and I hope it does the same with China.
Would you say, Congressman, that it's more difficult to hold on to that optimism, though, when, as you said, farmers are already going into 2018 stressed about the farm economy, and now you see how the markets react to even the thought of a potential tariff on pork or soybeans, and trying to trust the process here when things are already so financially strapped?
Well, keep in mind that many in the industry have told me, for instance, in the pork industry, that a lot of the potential issue we're seeing was already priced into the market because they had received all kinds of warnings that this was coming. That being said, I said earlier, we have to appreciate the anxiety, the additional anxiety that this causes to our ag community. And those of us in Congress, we need to really get moving to get the next farm bill up and out there for everybody to see so they understand that we are going to be moving this thing forward. We are going to be trying to make things better for those in our ag community. And if the administration can achieve its goals with NAFTA, if it can achieve its goals with China and our friends in the Asian Rim, this is going to be good not just for America, but it's going to be good in particular for the agricultural community in Minnesota and across the country that, quite frankly, feed the world, Mark.
From your vantage point, not currently on the Ag Committee, but certainly with close ties to it, the stall here recently on the nutrition title, I talked to Colin Peterson last week, who said at this point he'd put his money on an extension of the current farm bill, a one-year extension, because things are bogged down so much. Is there reason for hope on the farm bill front right now?
Well, absolutely. And my friend Colin Peterson, who I have a ton of respect for, Colin Peterson, we're going to need his help and his leadership in this area. I mean, I think what happened, Mark, and I didn't have a chance to hear your interview with Colin, but what happened was the Agriculture Committee had 50-some hearings. I mean, there has been in-depth work done on every chapter of the Farm Bill. And just before it was going to be released, which was supposed to be the week before the Easter break, just before the bill was rolled out for the public to start to absorb and digest, there was, I'm going to use my term, a revolt on the Democrat side of the committee. Now, Colin Peterson, our friend and representative from the state of Minnesota, is the minority lead, the ranking member on the Agriculture Committee for the Democrats. And again, you'd have to ask him directly, but Colin Peterson has made the statement, and he's made it to me, that the reforms that Republicans are proposing in the upcoming farm bill, which he believes are holding this thing up, are training or work requirement reforms for the SNAP program in the nutrition title. What the Republicans are proposing, quite frankly, is pretty minimal. If you are 18 to 64 years old and you are not a caretaker of a child under the age of 12, you would be required to participate in a work program or a work training program of up to 20 hours a week. Now, keep in mind that our farmers out there, they are working 16 hours a day, taking on two or three other jobs in order to pay bills, in addition to a spouse that must also find work off the farm. And they're expected to do the 16 hours on the farm. So we're saying to someone who is an able-bodied working-aged adult without children under the age of 12, that you should at least be making an effort to try and work part-time 20 hours a week. And if you can't find a part-time job, there's training available, which $1 billion has been built into the farm bill for that training. So when Colin came out and said to me, well, you know, your reforms are going to kick 8 million Americans off, that's not true. That is not accurate. And I think being the leader that Colin is, I know that he wouldn't oppose work requirements, a good reform involving work requirements for able-bodied working-aged adults 18 to 64 that don't have kids under the age of 12. And I think what happened, if I'm going to speculate, and take a guess at it, is Colin, as the ranking member, when he sat down with his Democratic colleagues on the other side of the committee, they said absolutely not. They will not stand for any work requirements to reform SNAP benefits, despite the fact that everybody knows that currently they have outdated work requirements in that area of the law, and this is about trying to create something that people can understand and make sense. So I think there's a lot of rhetoric that's coming out right now. Once the bill is released, which we hope is going to be in the coming week, Mark, I think at that point maybe the rhetoric sits down a little bit, settles down a little bit, because people are going to actually be able to review and digest the language and understand just how basic this is and how common sense it is.
Congressman Emmer, I know you're on a schedule, but I did want to ask you about some legislation you recently introduced, the STRESS Act, and why you feel it's important for a bill like this to be eventually signed into law.
Well, I appreciate you asking, Mark. The STRESS Act is actually the full title, is the Stemming the Tide of Rural Economic Stress and Suicide Act. You know, it's one of those uncomfortable conversations that we really have to have in a world today where we really have some mental health challenges. And I don't think people, I think people in our rural communities already are well aware of this. I don't think the rest of America is as clued in on what's happening in our rural communities. In rural America, Mark, suicide is nearly five times the normal population. And that's because I believe farm people, you know, our farmers and ranchers tend to be self-reliant. They avoid seeking behavioral health treatment even when they need it. It's the lack of agricultural behavioral health care providers in rural areas who understand the culture. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the entire state of Minnesota, with a population of over 5 million people, that's both urban and rural, there is one rural mental health counselor for this entire state. That's a major problem, and it's this lack of treatment options in general. It's pretty amazing, and this goes beyond Minnesota. Even though I'm pretty much a Minnesota guy, half the counties in America have no psychologist, no psychiatrist, and no clinical social worker. So, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to reauthorize something that was first passed. Back, I think, in 2008, it was called the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistant Network. We want to reauthorize this network, which would provide grants to various state efforts, extension services, 501c3s, community groups. It would provide funds to roll out local mental health assistance efforts specific to farmers and ranchers. And I think it's incredibly timely and important. And it's interesting because when our office approached Mike Conaway's staff with the Agricultural Committee, they not only said they were interested, they encouraged us to offer the bill. So it's part, as I understand it, of the current bill that will be rolled out. It might go through some changes through the committee process, but ultimately we're going to get it reauthorized. I'm very confident of that. And then we're going to try to do something that no one else has done, which is get some funds actually appropriated to this program, because I think it's something that its time has come for rural Minnesota and rural America.
So ideally, it would be part of the next farm bill, or it could be a standalone bill?
It could be standalone, but right now it's going to be part of the next farm bill. And I mean, we did drop a separate piece of legislation, but my understanding is ultimately it's going to be part of the next farm bill.
And just a quick follow-up to that, they've been saying for a long time that there won't be any additional dollars put into the next farm bill, and you're talking about money going towards the STRESS Act. So how would that flesh itself out?
Well, that's what the hearings are going to be about. Remember, there are going to be reforms in the farm bill, and no, they're not going to have the goal is not to have any increase in spending. The Agricultural Committee, as I understand it, has crafted a bill that's consistent with the budget and strengthens the farm safety net and provides some certainty while preserving more than $100 billion in savings under existing law. We will have to fit within that umbrella. And again, if this was not possible, then I would have expected the leadership in the committee to say, look, we don't have the ability to do that right now. But they didn't, Mark. They not only welcomed it, they encouraged it. And with their help, I expect that when we get through the appropriations process for FY19, we can find some dollars for this program.
Congressman, I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you wanted to make sure we touched on today?
No, this is great. I really appreciate it. Thanks for getting the word out.